Our scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, reading verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Every time I read this story of Jesus being the guest preacher at that synagogue, I always remember what it was like for me growing up in Laurel Hill at Church in the Pines. Some of y'all don't know where that church is, but it is really, it's just a stone's throw, literally, from the railroad track. And it's like the church door, steps, a few pine trees, railroad. And I used to get such a kick out of it when I was a teenager with my friend. Y'all, I talked about Stearns Bingham last week. Stearns and I laughed a lot in church. We got kicked out of church by our parents a lot. But what would really crack us up was when we had a guest preacher who didn't know about the train. Because our preachers, you know, after they'd been there a while, they figured out you cannot out-preach the train, the CSX freight train that's a mile long, passing 50 yards from the pulpit. And so we just thought it was hilarious because our guy, you know, and we had several, they figured out after a while that when you hear that train coming, you got about 30 seconds of being audible, and then nobody's going to hear a word you say. So they would very politely just step back, you know, and wait, sometimes 5 minutes, honestly. A mile-long train going about 30 miles an hour, it takes a while to get past it. But what was really funny was when the guest preachers would come, and they didn't know this, and they'd be preaching along, and that train would go, "Rah!" And they'd just be... They would just be mouthing, I'm trying to say this for the radio, they would just be mouthing words. And we thought it was the funniest thing. And so when I thought about Jesus in this passage coming and being the guest preacher, I thought, I bet they didn't have a train in Capernaum 2,000 years ago. But what they did have was a man possessed of evil spirits. And there are a lot of ways to look at this scripture, but I want us to think for a minute about this person in the church. I don't know. I've preached on this thing before, thinking about the audience, you know, and how receptive they were to a new teaching. But today I want to think about this guy, the man with the unclean spirits. And I think part of that is that, when they talk about that in the first century, they didn't know what epilepsy was. They didn't know what mental illness was or psychosis or any of this stuff. And so they just called it evil spirits. And that's not to say there aren't evil spirits or demons or anything like that, but they just didn't know, whatever that was. And but I think, you know, maybe the way for us to identify with this, you maybe have never had to do this before with the scriptures, to try to identify with that man, is to think about our own demons, like our own demons that we have of sins that we have, brokenness that we have from our lives, addiction, loneliness, things that we try to get away from and we can't, and we bring those into church. And maybe that's the way we can get some kind of understanding about what Jesus meant to this guy and what he means to us, too, in here. So I think one of the amazing things to me is that you think about this guy, with whatever those issues are, whether it's real demons or not, he got to church. I mean, he went to synagogue. That's kind of amazing that he got himself in there, because those inner demons were probably saying, stay away. But he went there. Now, what did he know Jesus was coming? We don't know. Did he hope to see Jesus and maybe be delivered from this? We don't know. But it's so interesting to me that he was there, that he got there. Here's the second thing that I see when I was looking at this, is that as distorted as this man was by his evil spirits, by his demons, whatever they were, Jesus was interested in the man himself, not the spirits. Jesus could see that man. And when I read it, all I see is a demon-possessed man. That's what I think of, the demon-possessed man. And I'm sure a lot of other people in that church saw a demon-possessed man or a crazy man or whatever you want to call it. They identified him with his illness. And Jesus saw him beneath the illness, what he could be without the illness. That's what Jesus saw. So Jesus wasn't in there like a casting out demons rodeo. I'm going to go to churches and cast demons out because that's what I do. He was trying to heal that person and bring that person back because he loved that person. And that person's life was wrecked by that demon. And it reminds me of, right now my mom is in Scotia Village. She's 98, be 99 in August. And she lived, up until 2 years ago, 96 years of really healthy living. 96 years old, she was walking a mile a day. And I found on my phone in the last year a record. You had that little memo thing on your phone? And I'd forgotten I'd done it, but it was a recording that she had called me over to her house. It was June 29th of 21. She'd called me over to her house because she had just gotten a CT scan of her brain. And the doctor said, you have progressive vascular dementia. It's not Alzheimer's, but it's vascular dementia, and it's unstoppable. And so I'm listening to this recording of her. I always want to say tape, and we can't say it anymore. This recording of her talking about it and how mad she was that it was happening, and how she didn't want us to stop our plans. She wanted us to spend time with our grandchildren and not feel like we had to be with her all the time. And that was 2 years ago. And it happened in those 2 years. And so now, when I go see her, she's delighted I'm there. And I think she knows who I am. But sometimes she doesn't. But here's what's interesting to me is I decided I really wanted to play that recording for the nurses. I wanted them to know my mom, to know her before she was broken in this way. And I had a picture of her. Sometime in the last 5 years, she wanted to go back to her old stomping grounds in New York City. Like, she and my dad would go up there and see jazz shows and stay at the Carlisle. And so we took her and we went to the Plaza Hotel. And there's this wonderful picture of her at tea at the Plaza Hotel in New York, smiling. And I want them to see that picture of her. Not the woman now that's in the wheelchair with the blanket and sleeps all the time. And the reason I want them to know that is I want them to know my mom. I want the person that she is. So they understand when they walk in there, she's special. And that is what I think was going on with Jesus and this guy. Jesus knew this man without the demons. Jesus knew the real guy. And he was dead focused on getting rid of that guy's evil spirits and getting him back to where he was. And that's what really opened it up for me, was thinking about that thing about wanting those nurses to know my mom. I've been really helped by this by an Episcopal preacher named Debbie Thomas. And she said this. She said, when I try to imagine my way into the life of the man with the unclean spirit, what disturbs me is not who or what the spirit is, but how utterly it ravages the poor man whose body and mind it possesses. The man has no voice of his own. The spirit speaks for him. The man has no control over his body. The spirit convulses him. The man has no community. The spirit isolates him. The man has no dignity. The spirit dehumanizes him. Granted, this picture of possession is extreme, but all of us suffer under the bondage of spirits that diminish us. All of us know what it's like to lose agency and dignity to forces too powerful for us to defeat on our own. All of us know what it's like to cede control to demons that make our lives unmanageable, whether we regard such voices as spiritual, psychological, biological, or cultural. This story tells us true things about how unclean spirits affect and manipulate our lives. And so I don't want us to just objectify the story and say, it's about that guy. I want us to think about us, about our demons and the things that have broken us. Whether that in you is grief, whether it's loneliness, you can almost just name almost anything that if you get to a certain place in your life that it has affected you and it has caused something in between you and God. It could be old hurts. It could be new hurts. And yet these things still affect us and bind us up. Those are our spirits. Those are our demons. But what I love about the story is that God sees you as you were without that, before that. That's who God sees you as. And wherever that is in your life, that is still who you are. That's still what's in you before you were broken in this way. Before all that darkness came to you, God sees that just the way Jesus saw that guy. And he was doing everything just to get that guy back, the guy he knew, the guy he loved. And it's so interesting when the spirits see Jesus because they know that he is their doom. Verse 24, he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And the answer is yes, he is coming to destroy those things. He is coming to take those things away, to rid you of these things. And this is the other thing that Debbie Thomas said that I thought was so good. She says, sometimes our unclean spirits take up residence in our holy places. We carry our destructive habits and tendencies right into our churches, our friendships, our families, and our workplaces. Sometimes our demons, our fears, addictions, sins, and compulsions recognize Jesus first because they know that an encounter with the holy will change everything. They make us recoil as soon as Jesus shows up in the guise of a loving friend or a provocative sermon or a wise book or a pricked conscience. Sometimes our lives actually get harder when we move towards healing, because unclean spirits always fight hardest when their time is up. What possesses us, what wreaks havoc in our hearts and minds, what distorts our humanity, these forces might not leave our lives without a fight. But Jesus will do battle for us if we'll let him. But will we? See, the paradox is this. The closer that you get to God in your walk with Christ, the more you will start to resist getting rid of these things. You will sense that holiness coming closer and closer, and you will fight it. You will be tempted to shut God out. You'll be tempted to withdraw, to say you don't believe anymore. to have nothing to do with God. And that's what that spirit says, is that he says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus of Nazareth?" So I'm like, hey, you're in the, I can do anything I want. You don't have anything to do with me. I can do what I want. And God's answer is, what do I have to do with you? Everything. I have everything to do with you. Whatever pain is or darkness is, wherever that is, wherever your torment is, God is. God has everything to do with us, especially when we're struggling, especially when we feel hopeless. So as you think about yourself today, and I'm thinking about myself too, believe me, where do you find that resistance to God's change in your life? Because it's easy to run away. If you go on the internet, or, you know, I don't know if y'all do TikTok or not, but there are lots of ex-Christians talking about why they're not Christians anymore. Some of them are called ex-evangelicals. And I just want to say, and these are young people too. These are people in their 20s. And it's like, man, don't give up. Don't give up. It is hard to follow Jesus. And when we get to a certain point and we know we have these old demons and these old things dragging us around, we want to just go, forget it. I don't need that. I don't need that turmoil. I don't need that turbulence in my spiritual life. When Jesus wants to heal us and cleanse us and take us to the next place. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So I'm going to close with a song that we sang. Y'all should come to pre-service singing, those of you who aren't coming yet. We really have fun, and we also sing these songs. And so any of you who were there today can sing this with me. It's the chorus to... Oh, my soul. And Dan's going to put it up for you to sing. And this is a song by Casting Crowns that we've just started learning. And it's so good. And the line that really gets me, he says, there's a place where fear has to face the God you know. That's so good. Because we're afraid and we're not sure. We can believe. So I'm just going to just sing that, and then we'll pray. I'm going to go through it twice, so if you want to start singing, I'd love it, so I don't have to be on the radio by myself. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down. 'Cause you're not alone. All right, sing it. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, he will make a way. Let him show you how you can lay this down. 'Cause you're not alone. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you know us before our brokenness. You know us before all the stuff that's happened. You know us before our darkness. You know us beneath all of our demons. And you desire to bring us back to that person again, to heal us. Help us, God, to embrace you. Help us to go where you are. Help us to open ourselves to your healing hand. In Jesus' name.